Hey, I want to jump right in with you this morning to God's Word. I trust that you love the Word of God. I'm actually beginning a new series today titled Dear Timothy. And although Paul wrote two letters to Timothy, we're going to hang out on the second one. Summer sometimes brings sequels. Didn't feel like summer this morning, although technically it still is, so it'll change soon. But we're going to hang out for a few weeks in the second letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, so you'll notice my coming back to it each week. We're going to start it today with a message that I've titled The Gift of God, The Gift of God. And I want to jump right in at the beginning of 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verses 1 through 7 is where I'll read with you. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. It tells us this: Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy. Remember, he's writing a letter. My dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve, as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. It's always good to find out somebody's been praying for you. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame, or to stir up, the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word. When we come to it, it's always a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It shows us the way to go. Help us, Lord God, to take your word, hide it in our hearts that we might not sin against thee, Lord God, and then may it show us the path that we might be equipped to live for you more effectively. I pray that over every student. I pray that over every husband. I pray that over every wife, every child, Lord God, every single adult, every married couple, every family, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus that your word will be effective in building us up today in Jesus' name. And church, as always, I'd ask you to pray along with me now. Pray, Father, speak to my heart through your word. I am yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Fire. Man, we know what fire is. I just announced we're going to build one this coming Wednesday out back. It's powerful. Out west, fire is devastating right now, as we see in the news and hear the reports. Contained fire is it's a tool. It's a benefit to us. But out of control, fire, of course, is destructive. We light things on fire with fire we cook, with fire we heat our homes, with fire we celebrate our birthdays. And some of you will have a lot more fire involved in your birthday celebration than others, depending on how many candles are involved. But as I mentioned, this Wednesday we'll roast some marshmallows over a fire out back. Paul uses fire to illustrate a need in the life of the believer here. And before we get to that, I just want to mention again that we're going to hang out here in 2 Timothy for a few weeks, as I said. Timothy was Paul's student in the ministry. Paul had brought him up as a young man and had left him to pastor the church in Ephesus. So Paul writes this letter to him and these words that he will speak to him as a mentor to him, as a teacher to him, helping to equip him to live for God. And that's what we're going to be looking at. But it's not just a word to Timothy. We know that the Bible is a word to all of us. So we'll receive it as the Holy Spirit was inspiring Paul to write to Timothy. We know that it was the plan of God that we would still have these words today and that we would be able to equip to live for God as well, not just Timothy. It would give us the tools we would need. And it talks about fire, not a natural one, but a supernatural one within the believer. Now, if you've ever built a fire, you know that fire needs air. It needs oxygen in order to burn. And although a little fire, like the candles on your birthday cake, if you blow them, they'll go out. But a larger fire, if you blow it, not only will it not go out, but you'll magnify the fire. Your oxygen will be fuel to the fire to cause it to grow and to get even bigger. The blaze will become even stronger. And it is a blaze that Paul is calling for in our text this morning. So he writes to Timothy, and when he uses that term fan, that's what he means. He's talking about fanning it and causing it to grow. He says, fan into flame, Timothy, or stir it up like embers of a fire, the flame, the gift of God. Another version of the text reads like this. It says, Timothy, keep feeding the white hot flame of God's gift. Feed it, Timothy. Fan it. Add fuel to it. Stir it up. My sister, my brother, every one of us is gifted by God. Every one of us, of course, when we came to salvation in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit took up residence within us. For many of us, we've received the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit as well. If you've not yet, I know it is a gift for you, and I believe for God to fill you with the baptism of the Holy Spirit also. But for all of us, the Bible says, to each one is given a manifestation of the Spirit or a gift of the Spirit for the common good. Every one of us is gifted uniquely by God. God gifted me uniquely, not for me, but for you. God gifted you uniquely, and not for yourself, but for me. The Bible says through the way God made us uniquely and gifted us uniquely, we use who we are to help build one another up in the kingdom of God. In doing this, we ensure growth in the body of Christ, praise God. And God desires this. He desires this out of his church. He desires this out of all of us in this regard in our lives. When we walk in the gifts that God has gifted us in, when we're who God made us to be, when we do that, it ensures that we have what we need for the seasons, for the opportunities, for the places that we end up in our lives. I want you to remember this. God always prepares you before God positions you. That's so important to remember that. You won't end up in a place where God would have you to be and not have what you need to be able to live for God and function in that place. God preps us in advance. So whenever God wants to take you somewhere new, put you in a new role, he's going to give you what you need. He's going to gift you uniquely for that purpose. So God gives the gifts, but it's our role, yours and mine, to fan God's gifts into flames, to keep that fire burning. Because flames go out without fuel. They do. Now, to go back to that bonfire we're going to build this Wednesday, we'll stack some logs up, we'll put them together, we'll light them on fire, but in order to keep the fire going, what do we have to do? We'll have to continue to add fuel to the fire. It's the only way for it to keep burning. Otherwise, eventually it just burns out. That's the picture that we're given here from Paul in our own lives as well, that we have to keep adding to that fire and stirring up the way God has gifted us. We fan it into flames in our lives. Now, the fuel for our fire, of course, is to walk in those gifts and exercise them, but it's also the Word of God. When we spend time in the Word of God, it's like oxygen on the fire. It's times of prayer. When we spend time in the presence of God, it's like adding fuel to the fire. When we worship God, we fan the fire into flame. And when we do acts of service where we walk in God's calling on our lives, all these things help equip us and fan into flame the way God has given us. Because without adding fuel and without fanning the flame of the fire, we grow cold. And this is a season where if we aren't careful, here in 2020, as we've walked through this unique season, it's an easier season to grow cold. There's less accountability. Our brothers and sisters don't see us all the time. It used to be if you went a few weeks and you weren't at church, somebody would start saying, "Where's so-and-so? Where's so-and-so at?" And maybe they would call you, or maybe we would check on that individual, say, "Hey, we just want to make sure everything's okay. We've missed you. Are you doing all right?" And we're able to look out for each other better. But in this season, it's a lot easier for that to not happen if we aren't careful. Because of that being true, all the more so it's important that each of us make sure we're fanning into flame that fire within us and the gifts that God has given us with, praise God, because we don't want it to die down. In your life, in my life, that can happen, and it's not our desire, and it's sure not God's desire. If we don't walk in those gifts, If we don't continue to feed the fire of God's Spirit within us, then we'll grow cold and we will become timid, weak believers is what will happen. But as Paul writes to Timothy here, and again, it's a word to you and I as well, God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity. The gift God gives you does not make you timid. God gifts us so that we, in the unique ways that he has created us, can boldly walk in those and be witnesses for the kingdom of God. God gifts us to build one another up, as well as to be lights in a dark world around us. And we don't have to be afraid of how we're going to do that, not when we know that God has given us what we need to fulfill our purpose in him with our lives. Family, 2020 is a year to be courageous. It's needed in our world today. 2020 is a time to be bold. 2020 is a year to take up the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. 2020 is a year like no other in that it's filled with people looking for answers and looking for hope and looking for solutions. And for too many of them, they're just going to chase and look after politicians and everybody else to try to figure things out in this season. But we know that ultimately the answer is Jesus Christ. And God has gifted each of us uniquely to be a light in that regard in our world today and show people what their need truly is. So I ask you, as I move into what Paul talks about here, are you feeding the fire? Are you fanning the flames? Are you stirring up the gift of God within you? Because the church needs you now, not meeting corporately on Sunday morning, but the need is just as strong as ever, and a lost generation needs you as well. Fear isn't part of what God has given you. Timidity isn't part of what God has given you. What God has given you in the way that he has uniquely gifted you is God has given you power. Paul says that. God has given you power. Now, a few years ago, this must have been, I was 19 at the time, so this is more than 5 years ago. Maybe it's more than 10 years ago. Or 20 years ago, or we'll just stop somewhere in there. It was a long time ago. So I was about 19 when this happened. But in the church that I came to faith in Christ back in Virginia, we got together, a bunch of us from church, one day to play football, American football, all right? So we get together to play an American football game. There's about 30 of us that showed up at the field on this particular day. And we split ourselves by ages. The guys who were like 21 and under were one team, and the guys who were 22 and up were on the other team. And at the time, I was on the younger team, and we lined up on the field, and we're out there playing this football game. And we had no pads on, but we were playing full tackle, no helmets or anything, but full tackle football out there on the field, 11 guys on each team. So there's some guys on the sideline, and we're there. And there was a guy I knew from church who showed up at the field that day, and we called him Donnie Mack. Now, his name was Donnie McEachran, but we called him Donnie Mack as a nickname for him. And he showed up, and he was on the sideline of the football field, and he was just kind of watching the game at first. And Donnie Mack was probably about 60 years old at that time. But after a few plays, he came into the game also. Now, I'd known him for a long time. We both ushered together at church. I had known him from the church. But he came out on the field. What I did not know about him was that Donnie Mack was a trash talker on the football field. Now, if you're not into sports, you might not know what I mean when I say that. But a trash talker is just somebody who just tries hard to get in your head, and they say things to you to try to upset you. Because when you play sports, you learn that if you can upset someone on the other team, usually you can take them out of their game and they won't function as well. So Donnie's out there on the field and he starts mouthing off, and he's not swearing or using foul language. He's just saying stuff, and he really zoned in on me. And I came out the backfield for a running play, and I came around, and when I get tackled, he starts saying things like, you know, oh, do we need to go get your mommy, and are you okay, did you get a boo-boo, and whatever else he's saying to me. And he's just taunting me. He's taunting me. And we would line up in the huddle on our side, and he'd be on the other side on defense, and he'd be calling out, just talking to me as an individual when I'm in the huddle, and just saying things. And he'd start calling out. He just calls me Jimmy. He's like, give Jimmy the ball. Give Jimmy the ball. So finally, after a few plays of this, I knew what was happening. He was just trying to upset me and get in my head. The thing is, it was working. I was getting upset. I was starting to, it was starting to really bother me and stress me what he was doing as he just kept talking and kept going on along the way. This is back before when I could get a little more upset before the Holy Spirit and Sister Sarai taught me about sanctification. So I'm getting upset with him. So finally we come back to the huddle one time and I'm like, give me the ball. I want the ball. And I came around, and I'm a lot faster than he is. I'm 19 at the time. So the ball is pitched out to me, and I come around the side, and there he is. There's Donnie Mack standing there. And I knew if I wanted to, I could do what I'd done on other plays. I could juke him. I could go around him because he can't catch me. I could do anything like that. But I was upset with him. So I made a decision as I came around. Even before the play started, I'd made the decision. I was going to run into him. I was going to run straight into him. Now, it's football, so that's perfectly allowed. But I came around the side of the line, and I'm running full speed, and there he is as he came out. And I just take off running for him, and I already knew, I'm just going to run right into you. I'm going to knock you down. I'm going to go right over you, and I'm going to keep going. And I come around the corner, and I'm running full speed, and he's standing there waiting for me. And I mean, I just ran slam into him. And it was like I ran into a concrete wall. I ran into a brick wall. I hit him and I stopped solid. I fell to the ground like a sack of flour. We called him Donnie Mack. I felt like a Mack truck had run over me or hit me. He hit me so hard. And as I fell, you already know what he did. He just started saying stuff to me as well and to keep going along the way. Now, in that situation, we look at it, both of us believed that we had what it took in that situation. Both of us believed that we had what was necessary at that time. One of us did, even though we both believed it. But what I want you to catch today is you have what it takes for life in the kingdom. You have power. You have that. God has not given you fear. God has not given you timidity. God has given you power, the power of God in your life. And however God created you uniquely, that you would think, man, I don't know if I have the courage or what it takes to really walk in who God made me to be. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. The Bible tells us that he has given us everything we need for life and godliness, and you have what it takes as well, praise God. Don't forget that in your life. It is so true. Child of God, you've got what it takes. God's given you the power. God's given you the authority. God has given you the boldness that is necessary to live effectively for him. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. When you are weak, he is strong. When you think, I don't have what it takes, I can't resist the temptation, I can't stand up for righteousness, I can't continue in this situation. No, there is no I can't. There is I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. As we live for God, God didn't give us fear and timidity, God gave us power. That's who you are. And Paul writes to Timothy to remind him of that. Of Timothy, don't let fear be what makes you make your decisions. You make your decisions based on the power of God that is within you, and we do so as well. You know what else God gave you? God gave you love. God gave you love. Paul says, Timothy, God didn't give you fear. God didn't give you timidity. God gave you power, and God gave you love. Now, don't misunderstand love. Because we use the word love for everything, of course. I love Jesus, I love my wife, I love basketball, and I love donuts. We just use the word love for anything that we're talking about. This is a different kind of word. And of course, we know in the Greek there were different words for love as well. But Paul is talking about an overcoming love in our lives. A love that causes us to overcome what we would be up against. Paul is writing to a man who is enduring opposition at this time. God has called him. God has called him to a church. He's a young pastor in this church, and there in Ephesus. He's experiencing opposition. He's experiencing opposition from the community. There are people in the community who don't like what the church is doing and don't like that he's there. But as we read through the letter, we also find that Timothy is experiencing opposition even from within the church. There are those who don't really like him. They're not so sure he's who should be there. And they're questioning the call of God on his life. And in that context, Paul reminds him that God has given him love. God has given him love. Timothy, you have what it takes to love, and you have what it takes to love anyone, and so do you, and so do I. I want you to catch this, my brother, my sister. You have what it takes to walk in love. God has given you this overcoming love in your life. Now, it's easy to say you love everyone, as long as you don't actually have to do it. It's easy to just broad-based say, I love everyone. It's also very easy to love nice, sweet, kind-hearted people. But everybody loves them. Everybody loves nice, sweet, kind-hearted people. There's nothing noteworthy about me if I love people that are easy to love. Everybody loves those people. They're easy to love. But some people, of course, are hard to love. Even some people at church are hard to love. Not at our church. But Jonathan told me that at the church where his dad pastors, he and Kelly, that some of the people at that church are, not at this church. I'm talking about other churches. But some people at other churches sometimes are hard to love, and they could sneak in here, so we need to be equipped as well along the way. And reality is sometimes I'm hard to love, and sometimes you are, if we're quite honest. Sometimes we're the person who is hard to love. See, we don't need any special gift from God to love people who are easy to love. You'd love sweet people if you were still a heathen. You'd love sweet people if you were an atheist. Nobody has to be a child of God to love people who are easy to love. But you need the power of God. You need the gift of God to love people who are hard to love. And Paul writes to say, believer, Timothy, but it's a word to you and I as well, you have that. You have what it takes. Catch that, church, because it's big, this overcoming love. Fear and timidity, they've not been given to you. Love has. A love strong enough, a love real enough that you have what it takes to love in the most difficult of situations. And they have what it takes to love you and I as well. Fan love into flame. That's what he says. You're going to fan the gift. God's giving you this gift. It's going to give you power. It's going to give you love. Fan it into flame. Use the way God uniquely created and gifted you to demonstrate the love of God to those who are around you. Let love be an overcoming factor in your life. Remember, the greatest commandment of all is to love God. And of course, the second one is like it. And that's to love who God loves, to love your neighbor as you love yourself, to love everyone who God has made. So two things there. He says, Timothy, you don't have fear. This gift of God that God gave you wasn't a gift of fear. It was a gift of power. It was a gift of love. And then he adds a third component to it where he says it was a gift of self-discipline, or the old King James Version would say a sound mind, a sound mind. Now, we could say, why would one version say self-discipline and another version say a sound mind? They sound kind of different, but what's funny is the Greek word that Paul actually uses there, it kind of means to have a wise head. It's an interesting phrase. He says, God has given you a wise head. Maybe think about this. When God comes into your life, God gives you the power and the strength to be level-headed, is what he does. To keep things on the level and to think things through along the way. And God gave you a head that provides wise guidance for the use of power and of love in your life. You have the ability through Christ to be self-disciplined, to control you. See, if I don't have a level head when the pressure's on, what happens? Then I want to run into Donnie Mack. But maybe you want to run into somebody at work. Or maybe you want to run into somebody at home. You can get away with it on the football field. Don't run into somebody at work. They might call somebody on you, all right? There's a whole different issue there. But if I don't have a level head, then when the pressure is on and I get upset, that's what could happen in my life. But God has given us, through his gifting, self-discipline, a sound mind, a level head in our lives so that we can walk in who God has created us to be. Fear keeps us from this. Fear causes us to hold back. But you don't have to hold back when you have what you need, and you have what you need to live this life. See, when the Philistines came out to face Israel, and they brought their champion Goliath out to the battlefield, and everybody from the Hebrew army ran and hid, David was the one guy in that situation who had a level head. He knew who God was. He knew who he was in Christ. So he was able to walk in that. When Nebuchadnezzar built his giant golden statue and said, when the music plays, everybody bow down, and almost everyone did it. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't. They had level heads and they knew, no, we're not going to do that. And we're not going to let fear be what makes decisions for us. We're going to make our decisions based on who we are in God and for us in Christ Jesus in our lives. So we don't make our decisions based on timidity. God didn't give us that. That doesn't mean we never feel fear or we never feel timid. But when we feel it, we know God didn't give us that. God gave us power, God gave us love, and God gave us this level head, this self-discipline, a sound mind in our lives, praise God. A level head will help you keep your mouth shut sometimes when keeping your mouth shut is the right decision. A level head, a sound mind, self-discipline will help you say the right thing when what you need to do is open your mouth in a situation. We need that in our lives. You need power, love, and a sound mind to be the husband or the wife that God wants you to be. I want you to catch that in your own household. You need power, love, and a sound mind, a level head, to be the parent that God wants you to be. You need power, love, and a sound mind to be the son or the daughter God wants you to be the family member God wants you to be the friend God wants you to be the employee that God wants you to be. You need the power of God, the love of God, and a sound mind, self-discipline, that level head. And God has given this to you. He has placed it within you. His power is in you. His love is in you. And steadfastness, a wise head, it's yours. If by some chance you're with somebody right now, poke them in the head and tell them, you got what you need in there. Go ahead, poke them. Somebody in the room with you, tell them, what you need is in there. You got what you need in there to live for God. That's what he's saying. Timothy, you have what it takes. And you do too, friend. You do too. The children of God do. God has gifted us with this in our lives. He has placed it within you. His power is in you. His love is in you. Praise God. That's not self-confidence. That's God confidence. That's God confidence. I know things are different right now. They're going to stay different for a little while. But we need to all walk in the unique ways that God has gifted us. And we have these things so that we can walk in them. And I want to pray for you today as I pull this together that God's going to continue to use you in the unique way he's gifted you. Now, Grizel, I'm going to ask if you'd come and join me at this time as I pray. I'd appreciate that. Hallelujah. See, if God has gifted you as a teacher, you need to still be teaching. I want you to catch that. If God has gifted you as a teacher in the body of Christ, he doesn't want you to teach when there's no coronavirus, but when there is, you don't walk in your gifts. He wants you to still do it. Now, you might have to be creative. I know one of our Sunday school classes met this morning through Zoom. They still get together and go over the Word of God together. And God's called you to teach. You walk in that. You teach others. You do it through a conference call. You do it online. You get together in a small group in your home. You do what you need to do in the season, but you still use the giftings that God has given you. And don't be afraid of that. God didn't give you fear. He gave you what you need. Boldly create a way to use your gift and walk in your calling. If you have the gifts of help, keep helping. If you're a giver, keep giving. If you're an encourager, keep encouraging. If you're evangelistic, keep reaching out. If you're an intercessor, keep praying. Keep fanning into flame the unique way that God uses you. That's the call to Timothy. That's the call to you and I. However God uses you, keep fanning it in a flame. Keep walking in it. If you say, but Pastor, I don't know, it's different now. Yeah, but guess what? You have power, you have love, And you've got the self-discipline, the sound mind, the level head that it takes to walk in this. Use that. Fan into flame the gifts God has given you. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for God to help you to walk in this as you make decisions to live for Him. Agree together with me at this time. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. This hour, Lord God, that we've spent with you, we've had opportunity to worship you, to be in your presence, Lord God. We've had opportunity to give to you. I know many have given online even during this service or this week. I pray, Lord God, over every giver right now, I pray that you'd open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings upon them, just as your word promises in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord God, that you will bless generously as we give generously, as your word promises. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. God, for each of us, Lord God, I know that some things have shifted in our community, and yet it seems slow going to get back to normal. We know we'll get there, but in the meantime, I pray that you'd help us to not put the brakes on, but help us to live for you, to be who you've called us to be, to walk in our gifts and our callings, even if it means doing it uniquely. Our brothers and sisters around the world have done it in ages of persecution and had to do it in hiding. Surely we can do it now, Lord God. So I pray your power over us, your love over us, that level-headedness, that steadfastness, that sound mind, that self-discipline, I pray that over us. In the strong name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's walk in that. Let's walk in that and be who God has equipped us to be. Walk in it this week as you live victoriously for Him. Now, I said earlier I wanted to talk to you a little bit about reopening, so stay with me for just a few more minutes if you're a part of our community here in Silver Spring, because I want you to catch this. As all of us know, it's been about 6 months now since we were asked to stop meeting due to the COVID-19, the coronavirus in our community. So it's been a long time. We never could have imagined that it was going to be 6 months, but it's been that long. Our community finally went to phase two some time ago, a couple of months ago, I guess. And when they went to phase two, it created the opportunity to do some things indoors, but still extremely limited. In fact, in Montgomery County, the requirement to meet indoors under phase two is not keep 6 feet apart. It's 200 square feet per individual or family unit. It greatly limits what can be done inside. It makes most of our building pretty unusable, actually, at this time. None of our classrooms or anything would be available under those guidelines. Now, the state went to phase three about 2 weeks ago, and what has happened in the past is when the state went to phase one, Montgomery County, 2 or 3 weeks later, went to kind of a modified phase one and then grew into it. When the state went to phase two, Montgomery County went to a modified phase two and then kind of grew into it. When the state went to phase three, my first thought was Montgomery County will do that as well. I have to be honest with you. Right now, I am not so sure about that from what I'm hearing. From what I heard in the media briefing this week from the county executive and the county health director, they came out and said that they are not even considering phase three at this time for Montgomery County. That doesn't mean it couldn't happen over the next couple of weeks, but that's what they said as they were presenting that to us. The problem that we have is we've already been meeting here. I know we're not here on Sunday mornings, but we've been meeting on site for over 3 months now. And as I mentioned earlier in the service, if you haven't been back to church yet, if it's because you're vulnerable or not comfortable, we understand that completely. But if you're not in that group, if you haven't been back to church yet, it's just because you haven't been back to church yet. We've been here for months already. So we're here every week. We'll be here again this week. We'd really love for you to join us to continue to grow together in our walk with God. But what's going to happen is, as September comes to an end and we shift to October, is it's going to start to get too cold for us to meet outside. And that's a great concern of mine. We've been able to buy time through all of this by simply meeting outdoors for the last few months. This week, we're meeting outdoors twice, the bonfire, the brunch, and we've just been doing stuff outside every week and blessing our community with food on our Friday outreaches and all. So beginning in October, whether the county goes to phase three or phase two, we will start allowing a very small number of people into our room on Sunday mornings under phase two. When I say small, I mean we're only allowed to put about 30 people in this room with our team. So it is very small. And what we will have is an online system. It's already set up, but it hasn't gone live yet. And you will have to pre-register to be a part of that group. In our first week, we're just going to have one service and let just a handful of people in the room with us. As the need is there, we'll keep adding services and growing. If the county goes to phase three, that number of 30 would change to about 75, just like that. So, of course, that's what we're hoping for and longing for, because 30 is a very small number of people to add to our team in this room right now. So, but with the weather changing, we're still going to keep meeting outside as long as we can, but we do want to create the opportunity for some smaller groups to be able to come in and worship as well. You're going to hear more about it over the next couple of weeks of what it will look like. Watch your emails. If you don't get emails, email the church, church@silverspringag.org. Email us so that we can get you on our email list. So very important. Then make sure you check those emails. We get the data that shows us what percentage of people open our emails. And we tend to run around a 60 percentile if we're doing good. So a bunch of you who get them, you don't always open them. And then sometimes you don't know what's going on. So we want to encourage you. Make sure we're not in your junk folder or anything like that. We'll communicate with you directly about what's happening so that you're aware. And it will have a link in it as well so that you can register online so that we know who's coming and can keep our numbers in check. That's still a little bit off. Don't wait for that. Don't wait for that. Come to church this week. Come this week. Come out with us on Wednesday. Come out with us on Saturday. Hey, if you're not ready to be in a group yet, we understand that. We understand that. You can keep watching the stream. If you're in a vulnerable group, I encourage you to be careful. But many of you, you're at the park, the grocery store, the restaurant, everywhere. And if you're doing all those things and you haven't been back to church yet, we want to welcome you back. We've been here for a few months, and we want you to be a part of it as well to continue to grow together in the family of God. So wanted you to know what's happening. So very important. Again, watch for those updates as they come. God bless you. Live victoriously in Christ Jesus this week. Amen.